Christensen S E N. Danish and Norwegian is S E N, Swedish is S O N. Not that that matters very much. Well, we have been having a great time together. And I've really enjoyed it. Hard to stick with the clock, though, isn't it? Some of these preachers get long-winded and cut in on the time and others and so on, but we all take it in good part. Brother John Lamhall, I didn't know you could play the piano like that. That was wonderful. I enjoyed that. Very good. Well, we appreciate these more mature brethren. They're not getting old, they're just older than we are. And thankful to have them in our midst and to hear good things from them. Enjoy that from Brother Bramhall and Brother Wilson this morning. The two scriptures I'd like to read this afternoon, bring to your attention. Many of us, you see, we're not as systematic as some people and organized as some people and so on. But a few things you learn by experience and thinking and little common sense sort of, along with spiritual wisdom. And there's two things that we always realized that was necessary in the Lord's work, and particularly in planting and then keeping people. One thing is you have to have a program to get the people in. And the second thing, you have to seek to have a program to keep them after they get them in. Those are two basic things. You have to be able to contact people, to interest them, to seek them, to bring them along where they'll be interested to come. Then after they do come, then to try to keep them. I think the conditions that we're going to read in Acts chapter 4, and we're just going to read from verse 31 down to the end of the chapter. There's been a lot of reference made to the book of Acts. We know the book of Acts is particularly a transitional period, but nevertheless there's wonderful principles in there how the Lord works. It's all the word of God, and there's wonderful direction for us in the book of Acts. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now that's what they had prayed for. That with boldness they prayed, that the servants, that they might be able to speak forth. Many Christians today would pray for a government that would allow them to do it, and all these other things to get rid of these fellows that are not toward what we'd like, you know, good fundamental thinking, so on. But here, these brethren, they prayed that they would meet the situation, that they meet this difficulty head on. And God heard them, and he answered them. He gave them the boldness, as we see in verse 31. Verse 32 of Acts 4. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought to the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. May the Lord just bless these verses. There's one thing that stands out here to me before we turn to chapter 9, and that is that these people, the thing that was foremost in the line was the glory of God, the extension of the Word of God, getting out with the gospel, getting souls saved. And you notice the wonderful condition among them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, their one heart, one soul, and as a result, there was great power and great grace. And nothing was dear to them and upon earth in comparison to getting the Word of God out. That was the primary thing, so that was foremost. That was, you know, I think today that's one of our problems. We're living in a very materialistic age of affluence, and we're thinking so many times just of bettering ourselves, making our nests better, you know, softer, and all this. But we're not really willing to really put first things first and really sacrifice and put it right into practice. So much easier to talk than it is to walk, isn't it? And that's the thing that marked the early group of believers. They were wholeheartedly sold out for the Lord. There was a genuineness about them. What marked the early church was simplicity and sincerity. And it's certainly what should mark us. Now, one other scripture in chapter 9, verse 31. Jim read it this morning. Wonderful verse. Then hath the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. First, you see those in the condition of why I'm reading this, speaking about, I think, one of the greatest things to help to keep the door back door closed if the assembly is healthy. And there's a warm and a wonderful fellowship. There's an atmosphere where people come into that's just not ordinary. Behold how they love one another. And you notice those, they had wonderful peace, those rest. There was wonderful preparation too. They were edified. There was purity. They walked in the fear of the Lord. There's the power, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and there was progress. They were multiplied. Now, I think that's a real good foundation for helping to close the back door. Like Bob said yesterday, we don't keep them all, but we certainly should keep some. You know, adoption agencies, and I've had to fill out the forms different times for couples that wanted to adopt a child, they're very, very fussy. Very particular what kind of a home these children go into. It has to be a home where they feel their child will have a proper upbringing, have love and other things that a child needs. You can just imagine how particular God is about his babes, that there's a proper atmosphere and a place to bring these new babes. And I don't know, can the Lord trust us as an assembly, one particular local assembly, with new babes and converts? Have we the right home for them? Will they get the kind of food they need? Will they be kept clean? Will they be given love? And all the very necessary things for proper upbringing. That's what you see, the one word was mentioned, and I mentioned it, and I had my notes before it was mentioned here, is the assembly is a family. And we very much need to emphasize the family aspect. Now, in this conference, the planting of families and there's closing their back door and close. These are all intertwined. This morning when Jim was talking, he was taking a lot of the wind out of my sails in some of the things that he said. But I'm going to repeat some of the same things anyway. Because we learn by repetition. And I'm assuming now first that the visitors are coming to the public service. And by the way, friends, I believe that we as a family should never lose our distinctiveness. We are different. Well, there's no reason for our existence with all, whatever. We're just an ordinary community church. There's no reason for us to be existing. There's all kinds of wonderful churches around. And I just mention this in passing before I get into it, but if you're here Sunday night, it was my privilege to be here last Sunday for the day with them. It's just coming home to me. And every time I come home, there's new faces, new children, new people added. But if another Christian came into this assembly Sunday evening with a breaking of bread at 6 o'clock, I tell you, it would be a tremendous testimony to them. No minister in charge, no choir, nothing sort of organized as far as man could see. And there were 12 different brethren took part. We had a wonderful meeting. Don't you think that impressed people? I surely do. So when they come in and they see the love for the Lord and love, you know, and really giving Him a portion, that'd be something most unusual. And they shouldn't be thinking about coming to a place like that, the fellowship. But we're starting this afternoon with the thought of people coming to our family Bible, our public service. And I say it's very, very important. First impressions are very important. As they come in, what kind of a welcome do they get? I don't think we should burn people, but there certainly should be some people that are experienced at this and that are adapted to give them a friendly, warm welcome. So they really feel that people care for them. And I think Christians should be trained how to meet people and how to welcome them. It would be a very, very wonderful thing. My own experience back when I was unsaved up in the city of Toronto, I went in there to the same church that my people belonged to in Canada, and I went into that city church and I came out again. Not one soul spoke to me. Do you think I went back there next Sunday? No, I thought I'd try a different one. Different denomination. Two dear men were at the back and they greeted me, gave me a hymn book, took me to the seat. They were just so nice. I was back there next Sunday. That's something that helps in keeping people. These first impressions are so important. Then it's important that we have a very well-conducted service at a suitable time, one that's best for the public. I think our breaking of bread should be at a time when it's not as convenient for us. We ought to be thinking about the public, when best to reach them. And I think long ago when the assembly changed from having the breaking of bread at 11 to 11 o'clock family Bible, I had the breaking of bread at a different time, I think it was a wise move. Now, the real scriptural thing, of course, is for us to go out to the world, not to invite the world to us, but the people have gotten in the habit of going to church on Sunday morning at 11. So it's a good opportunity to seek to catch them while the fish are around. Then I think it's very, very important to have proper men that know how to usher the people, how to graciously bring them in without embarrassing them. getting them to feel the warmth, giving them a bulletin or whatever. And then a nice song leader. That's important. Maybe the chairman and song leader could be the same person. Sometimes they're two different persons. But I think that means a lot. People come in and they see, feel the warmth of well-chosen hymns, of a good, lively sing-song, singing the gospel hymns. All this is very, very wonderful. Especially if they're used to going to some place that's dead and cold and come into a place and they find, well, isn't the Lord dwells here. And then the special singing. I think that's a wonderful help. Whether it be a group singing together as a choir, quartet, trio, duet, solos, whatever. But it should be well planned and well prepared. It's good for them to find out from the preacher, if they know what he's preaching on, they can keep in line with the message, and that goes to the song leader too, that everything is properly done. And then a good testimony by a man that has a good testimony. Know what I mean by that? Sometimes you get people giving a testimony and have a question mark over their lives. They don't help your family testimony. Someone come there that knows a fellow that's dishonest in business, say, well, that's the kind of people that go there. I don't want to hear. I don't go there. So it's very important that we have good, consistent people taking part in our public services. And then I think, too, we have the gifts given to the body to be used. When I was in England, I remember that a rotation of four different preachers. There wasn't that many preachers there. And it is what Jim referred to this morning. It was sort of, one Sunday you'd get a great message, next Sunday you'd get one, you'd be bored. Just not the way. I think our best gift should be on the platform. If you're the evangelist, if there's a gospel meeting, use the evangelist. If it's teaching, the teachers, and so on. Some have both gifts, like Paul. But nothing is too good for the Lord. But at the same time, we should be training people. And we try to train ours in the prayer meeting and the other times, seek to develop them. And it's encouraging. I couldn't be away like we are now for several months. They're able to carry on their own, and that's a great encouragement. And I'll tell you something that's very important. That's good, sound, solid preaching. I don't know better than what's happening today, but sometimes when I go speaking somewhere, they say, well, we haven't heard a message like that for quite a long time. Well, what are they hearing? I don't know. God's word never changes, and the gospel will always be the same. And we need to preach it plain and clear and simple and strong. There's no apology. There is the heaven to gain, there is the hell to shun. Don't be afraid to preach it. The Lord Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And preach the gospel clearly so people can know how to be saved from it. That is, if we're talking about a gospel meeting. And I believe that good sound preaching is the best thing in the world. We knew a group. They tried to build a work through entertainment. You can entertain people for a while, but you'll never establish a strong work like that. Even the churches in Christendom that have a lot of entertainment, they have a very lot of shallow people too. We also need to think about the quality as well as the quantity. There's more ways to go than the numbers. We need to go in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The both need to be there. There's no substitute for, like Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Like a young minister whose father was a minister, he was called to speak in a college or university city. And he was quite nervous about it. And he said, Dad, he said, I don't know how to preach to these educated people. Well, he says, preach the word to them. They won't know too much about that. And he was right. When we went to Orlando, there was all kinds of educated men there, brilliant men. We just preached the word. I didn't know much else to preach to them. Couldn't preach politics, I couldn't preach none of the subjects. But we didn't know the gospel, that's what we preached, and so told the same. There's no substitute for the gospel. Then a good nursery is helpful too if people come with little tots of babies. We have ours now divided into two. One for the real little ones, one for the ones that are sort of up and around a bit. But that helps. So mothers can be free to listen, and of course to have a competent staff in the nursery is very much needed and useful. Then if you have Sunday school at the same time, like many do, when they have the family Bible hour, that's a wonderful thing too. But as we heard from others, if they really get something. Sometimes a junior chapel is useful. I remember one family coming when we were at Hiawatha. They had a little girl. And what attracted them to the chapel was the junior chapel service for the children. And they put the little girl in there. And after a while, those people, they came into the fellowship of the most useful. But what brought them or kept them at the beginning was that junior service for little children that we had for them. Another great important thing is the young people's group. And I want to say a word here. We need to emphasize to our young people not to be cliques. You know how young people get together and they just love each other and talk to each other, and outsiders can be there that don't even notice them. We need to train our young people to also be on the watch out and be concerned about befriending new young people that come in. Not be so busy with themselves and taking up with each other that they forget about those that are visiting. Oh, that's important. I've seen that so many times. Kids are kids. Young people are young people. And one of the things that marks us as young people is they're selfish. We need to help them to get over that. Then I think another good thing to help close the door is a hospitality committee. Hospitality is a great thing. Given to hospitality is one of the qualifications of the elders. And if the elders and others in the assembly were always on the lookout, the visiting people, would you like to come home with us for dinner? This is a grand, great place to establish people. There's a couple in England when I was there just as a young believer, just coming among the assemblies. A dear old brother took us home. While his wife cooked dinner, he'd be ministering the word to me. And gave me a grounding that I never forgot. God said to Moses, "What have you got in your hand?" He roared, "Throw it down, use it! What have you got in your hand? You got a home." And I tell you, a wife is such an important thing to a servant of the Lord. Good wife. You have to be together. If you have a wife that's 100% with you and behind you, you got a team. Many times we came home at all people we were at Hiawatha, their house was right up across the field. She did the road had invited some and I'd invited some. We'd end up with probably 20 visitors for dinner. A lot of work. Remember the kids, they helped us, you know. And some folk came in and they saw that and they had a fellow come in and install a dishwasher. And the next few days after that, when we had our family devotion, and every child that we prayed around the table, "Lord, thank you for the dishwasher." They were really thankful. They were our dishwashers, too. We all worked together. But hospitality, to have people that are prepared, when people come, to take them home. I like that idea about that dinner on the ground. Now, I'm not as good to organize. That's one of the things my problem. But I love to see us organize something like that any Sunday. It's a terrific thing. But the next big thing is to take them home. And we can do a lot right there. Hospitality. Then another very important thing, too. I haven't come to the most important yet, but we're just building up. And that is, I believe, a prompt return visit. Now, a letter is good, a phone call is good, but there's nothing like returning that visit the same week. Right back there and show them you're really interested in them. People appreciate that. And it gives them an opportunity to ask you questions. And it helped us so many times in connecting, for instance, with the hair covering. They say, you notice all your women, they have something on their head. Oh, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Gives you a wonderful opportunity. You didn't tell them. They brought it up. All you do is explain it to them from the Word of God. And that's so with other subjects, too. Visitation is a great way to do it. My brother said one time to me when we were in Orlando, how do you get so many of the people that get saved and so on, how do you get them into the fellowship so soon? Well, it's true visitation. As you go to visit them, depending where they are, if they're not saved, you seek to lead them to the Lord Jesus, and that's a great opportunity after they hear the gospel. Those two go good together. The preaching from the platform and the visit in the home, those two are tremendous tools together to lead them to the Lord. Then you deal with the subject of baptism. Deal with the subject of the Lord's Supper. All these things you take up. And I always carry a lot of literature with me on all these different subjects. And leave them literature to read. And then I keep a book and I mark who will visit and what literature I gave them, what we talked about. And then we can follow it up next time you go. And if you've got several people doing that, it really amounts to something. But it helps to keep them together. Now we've tried to organize the elders to visit all the assembly. We have made up, I made up two boxes, you know, file boxes. One has on it people to be visited, the other one people that have been. So we try to empty the box or the other box and keep on visiting like that till they're all visited in the assembly. That's for assembly visitation. And speaking about under the shepherds, it's a great thing to take young men with you and train them on the job. That is the purpose of the gifts, isn't it? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we equip them by doing. You never learn to swim by reading about it alone. You never learn to get in the water. You never really learn how to witness to somebody till you go with somebody else and you learn how to do it. Now, you learn by experience too. I know that how I had to learn. But we learn if you have that heart. Teachers could spend time with young men, develop them, showing them how to study the Bible, how to outline and how to teach. And shepherds to take men under their arms and develop them in shepherd work. These are some of the greatest needs that we have. But getting back that to them in visiting them. And you know, it should be followed up on a regular basis. But I'll say the best and the most lasting way to close the door, in my estimation, that's to instruct them in the Word of God. What the Word of God teaches. You'll find out if people only come into your assembly because they like the fellowship, they like the singing, they like the spirit, they like the way you do things, then eventually something may come up and they'll leave again. I've seen that. But people that really see they're there because the Word of God put them there, they'll never leave. That's my conviction. It took me a while. I was raised in the churches, and it took me quite a little while to see the truth of the assembly. You know, it doesn't always come easy. But brethren and sisters, when God has revealed it to me, that nothing will take me away from it. And there's no assembly around there, and we're going to try to start one. We're not going to just go somewhere where we'll be grumbling. We're going to be someplace where we can be happy and establish something that after we're gone, it'll stay and continue till the Lord comes. It's important, I emphasize, that we lay a solid foundation. The longer I've been in the work, the more I see the necessity of having the nucleus of an assembly that really know why they are where they're at. Why they're not down there at this Baptist church or this community church or this Bible church. Why am I meeting as I do? We need to know why. If you really know the reason why, what you are, where you're at, and God put you there, that'll keep people better than anything else. True sin and sin, sick and thin, they'll stick with it. Poor preaching, they'll stay. But do something about it. But you know what I mean? They won't leave for every little reason. And I think that is the best way to seek to keep people, to instruct them in the Word of God. And you can do that through Bible classes. We have done what someone suggested yesterday, a class for young believers. While the family Bible hour was going on, one brother was teaching the young believers. Noel Moore, Jim here knows Noel. He did a great job doing that. Then there's home studies. And you know, there can be real feeder for a family. I met in Orlando. We had Bible studies in the morning and the night, the couples and ladies and so on. And a lot of couples came into the assembly eventually. We never mentioned the chapel, just the Bible. And then get you excited. Where do you preach? You tell them the next Sunday you see them there. It's a good outreach as well as feeding the people and feed the assembly. With an elder of a certain church got saved in one of those Bible studies. He was a Sunday school teacher of teens, and he came to the Bible study just so he'd get something to teach the young people. And when he got saved, he started coming to the assembly. So they got another man, the chairman, and after a while he came to the Bible study and he got saved, and they had to get another one. That church was kind of ready to run us out, but we didn't do it for that reason. But Bible classes are wonderful things. We said if they come and they're unsaved, it'll do them good. Teaching sometimes a series from the platform is good on what we believe, why we meet the way we do. We did that one time, and I didn't know whether the attendance would drop off. But you know, the attendance got better and better. We taught it right down the line, and the whole thing for several weeks. And it helped the attendance. They need to see that an assembly offers the greatest opportunity to develop the spiritual gift and potential. There's no other fellowship, if it's truly a biblical New Testament assembly, that offers such opportunity as we do. There's room. A man's gift will make room for him, says Proverbs. And if you have a system with a clergy system or something like that, they can never get to develop those potentials. That's the gift they have, not in that particular group. So it provides a wonderful thing. And all we need to pray and would to God, like Moses said, that all his people were prophets, would be useful. Now, another point I want to mention, as soon as they're received into fellowship, it's necessary to get them involved. Busy people stay in the trouble. Right? It's a fellow that has not doing anything, he's always finding fault with those that are. These are just some practical suggestions. We emphasize again the purpose of our gift is to develop, to equip the saints so they can carry on the work of the ministry. Not to keep ourselves only busy, but to seek to mature and develop others. And this can, of course, be done by studies or classes for the young. That which you have received, commit to faithful men who like and shall equip others. Then there's the studies in the classes on evangelism. I think the best people that can go out to witness once they're saved and they come into the assembly and they're new in the faith, they're full of zeal, they're the best to train for personal evangelism. I have found many times you try to take out some of the older brethren that are well established, they know too much. You just can't teach them. I remember one time a person was just ready to accept the Lord, and I had a brother with me, a good brother, a good friend of mine. I'd say a few words, and he had to say a few words. I'd just get the person up where they're sort of ready to be led to the Lord, and he'd take it away again, and he's... People sometimes when they're young and they feel the love for the Lord, it's like the best people that you have are the new converts to really teach and develop when it comes to assembly truth or practical things. When people get to know too much, it's harder to teach them, isn't it? That's why the Lord chose young and inexperienced men. Had he chosen all the high qualified people of that day in the educated realm, they want to be his advisory board. They wouldn't want to be his disciples. God uses little humble people, willing to learn. And I believe that's so important, to use them, get them involved. Get them involved in helping in youth activities. There's many different youth activities. We're using the WANA. We have used the Christian Service Brigade and Pioneers. And it's classes. There's all kinds of things that we can get them involved in. If they get a little more knowledge, help in the Sunday school. Ladies get active in their activities. And ladies' activities. Have a homiletic class for young men that are having a desire to want to just do some better speaking. And some examples in hospitality. People come in and they're a little while, like we said, it's hard to get, they like to be the visitor, but they need to be part of the people. First, you know, people say, they come to you and they'll say, don't you think you ought to do so and so? It's we. Don't you think we should do so and so? Then you're in fellowship. We together. So these are the different ways. And then, as we already said, take them on visitation. Teach them like that in these various areas. That's another thing that has not been mentioned at this conference that I like to just bring in closing. I just looked at my watch and... Well, you guys are late coming in, so I thought you were too late this morning. Oh, I'm laying it on now. But it's not a Titus chapter 2. There's an area here, I believe, there's a tremendous need. And many times our sisters, they get involved in other areas. We have some, that's one of our problems in Prince Island. Women getting into real estate, everything else. When there's needs in the assembly where they don't need the finances, where they could really serve and do something for the Lord. And that is, there's a big area among the younger women. And the young women listen better to the older ladies than they will to men. What do we know about it? But these women have had experience. And it says there that one of the problems is you can't find the aged women. the aged women. No one wanted to be aged. We have an old lady up on the island. I guess she's 90 at least. Nobody knows. Somebody asked, "How old are you, Mrs. Voss?" She said, "I'm a senior citizen, dear." But here's what it speaks. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior have become as holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. There is a tremendous responsibility and a wonderful way to help close that back door. Many times younger families and younger women are neglected. Single mothers, there's many, many single parents now. There's a real ministry to single parents. And they're mostly are mothers. And they're to teach these young women to be sober, serious-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children. I think that's the only place the woman is told to love her husband. But the husband is told many times to love his wife. To be discreet, keep us at home. That's not too popular today. That's not too popular. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Remember true David's inconsistency and his sin? Nathan chastised him because of you, the enemies of the Lord, did blaspheme. Paul said the same to the Jews in Romans 2. Because of your inconsistency, the name of God is blasphemed. And here I believe there's a great field of need for the mature sisters to have a real ministry and a work among the younger women and sisters. I think I have taken much more time than I should have. Thank you, Brother Heath, for that. Well,
the only reason you're going away with that is you're bigger than I am.
I'm not sure.
No, you sit down up here.
I'm not sure of a way more.
You sit down up here. Where's the rest of the panel?